Welcome back, adventure fans, to more of the League of Ultimate Questing, the show that brings the legendary bravery and mystery of heroes in action to the comforts of your home. After the high-stakes tension and fast-paced challenges of the Invitational, it's time to return to the basics and check in on some teams as they accept new quests or make progress on QIAs. That's Quests in Action to you newcomers. My name is Kip Killigan, voice of the LUQ and servant of the Nexus Enterprise. With me, as always, is the orc that puts the brat in vibrato, Stormclad Thundertongue.
Where am I? Oh, gods, where am I? Is this hell?
Well, far from it, Storm. We're live, buddy. LUQ time. No dungeon too deep? No quest too questionable?
Oh, dear gods. I must have wandered back into the booth and passed out. Kip, there's three powers on this earth that exist outside comprehension of mankind. The will of the gods, the ebb and flow of the magical ley lines, and an invitational after party.
Ah, I guess you stuck around after the big event.
Holy cats, Kip. That was a party to remember. I guess I forgot most of it. Partying with adventurers almost died, and their rabid fans, it's unreal. There was this infinite shrimp fountain, and some dancers that may or may not have been illusionary. There was a talking buffalo, or maybe it was just a really eloquent minotaur. I'm pretty sure I drank wine out of a bag of holding at some point. Twice.
Sounds like quite the festivity. You ready to jump in feet first into some adventure commentary?
Well, I feel like an intellect devourer is tenderizing my brain. But I think I can rally. Maxie, head down to Baba Java's and get me a 32-ounce witch hazelnut whip and then hop over to the Mutton King for a tater blanket mutton deluxe. Extra hoof. No lettuce. Don't worry, Kip. I'll be right as rain in no time.
Fantastic. Then let's follow up with one of the teams that passed the Invitational Challenge with flying colors as they enter some important negotiations with a possible rival team who've called for a trial of seeking. Will they agree to the terms on the table and lay it all on the line? Or will they take their winnings and retreat unfettered? Find out now.
Well, that's just great. Normally I'd be excited for a nice, quiet negotiation, but knowing Daxton, quiet's the last thing it's gonna be. Man, sounds like a jungle cat choking on a foghorn. I'm gonna lie down. Let's see if we can get somebody from Spellcraft Services to cast silence on the booth.
We find our team, the Mortal Dawn, in an extra-dimensional meeting room that you entered through Reginald 419, as you have in the past, similar to the one you entered for the trial of Hierothax. There's a long table with 10 chairs on each side. At the head of the table, there is a tri-drone recorder. Across from you is Daxton Grimbarrow, the captain of Daxton's death machine. And next to him is a very well-dressed dwarf with very dark hair and a cigar in his mouth. You have learned that this is the patron of Daxton's death machine. On your side of the table, there is Maven and the four of you. The only people who were required to be at this meeting were the captain and the patron, but the rest of the team were welcome to come. As you discuss the terms...
Says you!
Yes. As you discuss the terms of the trial of seeking that they challenged you to at the end of your invitational competition. So you can agree or disagree as the meeting goes on, and Maven gives you all a quick sidebar before you begin. Team, first of all, that was fantastic what you did out there. You did so well. The teamwork you used was breathtaking, very cinematic.
We've been working on it.
I can tell. And I hope that you enjoy the prizes that you've received. So, a trial of seeking. We haven't had any team versus team encounters come up yet. I feel like we've been too busy just trying to make money. But it's possible for one team to challenge another to a personal exhibition of sorts. And the trial of seeking involves both groups hunting down a strange forgotten item. Whoever gets it first and returns to an LUQ headquarters with it wins the challenge. The terms of the challenge are up to the teams to discuss now. So let's all have a seat and put on our professional faces and try to either agree or disagree with what they propose. You all have a seat and the meeting begins. And Daxton's agent takes a large puff of their cigar and says,
"You're a good team. I like the work that you've done here, but my team's a little sore they didn't get chosen, so I think this will be a nice way for them to gain some face and earn a little more credit for themselves."
And who are you?
The name Cedric Molnar, agent of Daxton's Death Machine. I've been a fan of your work. Maven, how's it going?
Hi there.
Here's the offer that Daxton wants to make, and he's sitting next to him, just towering over this dwarf, this huge Goliath covered in tattoos with his arms folded. And there's a big, like, almost eager grin on his face.
This here Tridrone will choose an artifact from the LUQ annals. They have a whole bunch of them logged away for such an event. Neither of us have any advanced knowledge of what it's going to be or where it may be. Somewhere in Mackinac, that's for certain. We're putting 1,000 of our gold on the table that you should match. Whichever team wins gets that pool. But also, you can choose one of our team's magic items and take them for yourself. But the same offer stands should we win. You're, of course, welcome to increase the ante.
This is an exhibition match, but what you're describing is where one of us completely loses and also loses not only face, but money. How is he supposed to be fair?
Well, winning and losing isn't always fair. Sometimes it's about which team is the best.
Winning and losing isn't fair in reality, but you know what we are in? A league. With rules, with structure, with purpose.
I'd think 1,000 gold isn't that much money for the exhibition team from this season. Top hero rank.
Money? No. But when you can take one of our magic items, something that we've bonded ourselves to, this is a bit excessive.
These are our terms. You can adjust them if you wish. You can choose a few in particular.
Captain. Captain?
The?
Are we going to talk about this as a team before you make a decision?
Have I failed to do this since I promised you?
I was just curious. I have thoughts.
I'm asking you genuinely. Have I failed to respect your positions as my teammates?
No, actually, I think you're a wonderful captain. I had reservations. I shouldn't be saying that anyway.
This is fine.
No, I'm sorry. I just got excited.
I understand.
If you need a minute for a sidebar, feel free. We'll be right here.
Is there further terms or conditions to discuss?
The only option is that the winning team that returns with this quote-unquote artifact first to whatever nearby LUQ headquarters are official wins. I suppose if the teams encountered each other out on the road, they could butt heads. Same as any other challenge for a team facing monsters out on the field.
And what if one of our members falls in battle? Are we responsible for the costs?
I would say the team is responsible for the cost of resurrections as per any quest. Of course, with your league discount.
We'll have to take a moment.
Just remember that death on the battlefield is a threat that we all face daily.
You're very proud of yourself for that voice, aren't you?
It's just the voice that I was born with.
I'm sure.
Sometimes people make fun of it and it makes me go to the boiling point.
I kind of pull everybody over to the side.
Maven is kind of with you.
A quick question. So the team is Daxton's Death Machine. His mm-hmm. name is Daxton.
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Look, this is all loss. Normally when we do quests, the only risk is that we just don't get a reward. But in this situation, we are having to put up our own things. One thing that we don't even get to choose ourselves. And then the loss could be fame, reputation, and worse, if we get into battle and we kill one of these people, how does that look for us? Hmm. I'm not sure I'm in favor.
Oh. I wholeheartedly agree. I have nothing I'm willing to part with. No, I don't like this at all.
Maven, do we have the option of declining this offer?
Of course you do.
But it was such a public challenge that we will definitely lose face if we refuse, unless you have an idea to how to spin it.
I have no sense of pride, which is one of the reasons why I appreciate your opinion here. Look, if we can't respectably expect to climb the league if we are running away from challenges and avoiding battles. I just don't want to be known as the team that slaughtered their entire crew, which I have no doubt we could do.
Also, it's strange that they chose a trial of seeking. This is a team of mostly, well, as they would define themselves, meatheads. They're great on the battlefield, but when it comes to hunting things down, I would expect that maybe they're looking for a fight.
Those are my thoughts exactly. I think that they'll wait for us to get the artifact and then try to slaughter us all.
Well, to be fair, as soon as we have the artifact, we could just swan away from them. I doubt they're expecting that move.
Oh, well, they have all of our footage to look after. They probably know what we have.
Then we look like cowards.
We can also modify the terms if we don't want to use the magic item rule. That's with us to propose, but it's also a way for us to get maybe something very rare that they've collected.
Do you have a list of what they have?
I can have Reginald get an idea how many there are, but what they are, we'd have to look at them first.
Duh.
And Reginald does a quick scan of the area, and he's like,
They have 7 items of uncommon or greater rarity.
As it stands, a lot of us are at our capacity for magic items, which means anything we get would have to be better than what we currently have or go into the possession of somebody who does not already have their feel. This seems like a lot of risk for me. I'm not going to make the call for you. I don't care about losing face, but I understand that some of you might.
I like the idea of Morty in the Domain Farms hat because we have to give up one of the items. Here, Morty, wear the hat.
Well, my vote is to pass on this entirely, honestly.
Arvin?
I'm not excited about the challenge itself. However, I do think that we at least have to have a plan on how we would refuse them if we do. It would have to be something like saying they're not worthy of our challenge, which has its own connotation of us being uppity, or if we had something we thought was pressing enough time-wise that we could put them off indefinitely, like perhaps a sibling that you didn't want to see again.
Artax?
To decline their challenge makes us look weak. It would open us up to other teams challenging us to continuously reduce our standing in the league.
So we have 1-4, 1-against, 1 alternative. So it sounds like the vote is with me, which I suppose is appropriate given that I am captain. You look like you have something to say.
I have a counteroffer.
What is it?
Maven, does a trial of seeking have to be between 2 teams?
Traditionally, yes.
Could we propose a battle royale?
I suppose we could, but I think that would be giving them just what they want.
Duh.
Based on your experience levels, my assumption is that your team has a bit of an advantage in this particular one, and I don't necessarily know that they're the ones that chose a trial of seeking. It might have been assigned to them randomly. Hmm. But it sounds like the loss of a magic item is going to be serious for us. We can take that off the table. That's totally fine, and I understand.
I say we destroy them. I say we meet them on the terms that they're looking for. We wait until they do their stupid jump out and try to attack us, and we show them that we are not a team to be messed with. This is an opportunity not just to lose a reputation, but to build a reputation as people that you cannot challenge without a full understanding of the consequences. And quite frankly, our ability to deal damage to both people and environment is considerable.
No joke there. Didn't you say you could turn people into chickens or something?
Yes, I can do that.
Just a thought if we need to humiliate someone.
We can also banish them from this plane temporarily. I reach out for a high five from our things.
We both banish each other. High five.
We switch places
the
when we
ultimate
come back.
High five. How do you feel about the terms? Do we want to change anything? Maybe we could instead change trade sponsors or something similar to that. That's been done by teams in the past.
How many members of their team are there?
There are 5, but only 4 would compete if they go up against you. It has to be an even playing field as far as participants. And they are the same ranking as you all. They just didn't catch the eye of the Nexus Enterprise as far as the choosing.
I can't think of any terms. I cannot think of any terms we should change. A team of our equivalent level probably has some pretty nice items.
I'm confident in our abilities, but I'm scared that we'd lose something.
One thing you have going for you is that many of you seem to have items that they probably wouldn't care about. These are a team of fighters, barbarians, paladins, I believe. And some of you have things that only work for you.
I pull out my wand. I'd like to see them try to take this from me. As it slowly starts to stab me in the hand and start dripping blood.
I think the worst you'd worry about is a weapon or some armor.
We could challenge them to this trial without the use of magic items.
This is a good idea.
I'm confident that I can destroy them without any of the assistance I have from these trinkets.
What? What do you say to no weapons? No weapons, no magic items, only what your buddies can do.
I suppose we can propose it, but if they're a team of fighters and paladins, I don't know if they would accept it.
That's up to them.
Oh, yes.
Would also remove your ability to do that quick swan exit.
That's true, but they would have to back down from part of their own challenge.
I think offering them a challenge of no weapons is quite interesting.
I like this.
Sounds fun.
Everybody in agreement?
The magic item part is clever. I feel like sometimes you can rely on the gifts that you've been given, but it's your choice. I will support you.
I like no weapons.
That is very interesting indeed. I say we offer it and still do the magic item and 1,000 gold exchange.
Like this.
I think it will catch them off guard, and they may look quite cowardly if they refuse.
As for non-weapon combat, I think we excel.
I will make the offer. And you all turn and return to the table, and Maven says, the Mortal Dawn would like to modify the terms of the arrangement. We will put 1,000 gold and a potential loss of one of our magic items on the table, but for the challenge, the teams are not allowed to use any weapons. And you see Daxton kind of sit up for a second and say, no, how are we supposed... And the dwarf puts his hand up and says,
no weapons during the challenge. As in close combat, martial weapons, we can still punch, kick, bite.
Only what your body is capable of.
And he looks over at Daxton, and Daxton's like kind of gritting his teeth a little bit, and they lean and have a little whispery sidebar like...
2,000 gold per team, and we accept these terms.
I look at the others.
What's our bank look like, Maven?
Your running total should be almost 3 grand each.
Okay.
I think we can cover this. 500 gold apiece? This is nothing to me. I have nothing to buy.
Yes, it seems okay for me.
I have no objections.
Money is just something that weighs your socks down.
Well done.
Thank you.
And the team captain stands up and adjusts his team captain badge and holds his hand out towards our team and says,
that is a bold request indeed, but I am not one to shrink down from a challenge offered by another noble warrior.
I reach out and take his hand.
It just kind of dwarfs your hand a little bit, but you greet it with a firm handshake.
I've never been much for hand-to-hand combat. I've never been much for punching or kicking. And I look at him and thaumaturgy my eyes so that they burn with fire. But that's never been a problem for me.
He kind of smiles at that. Says,
Artyom Volkov, I like the cut of your jib.
I like the sound of your name.
And he turns and faces towards the tridrone, and its three faces kind of rotate and shift a few times, and you hear the clicking of almost like a dial-up modem connecting inside of it. And it says,
the item chosen for the Grand Seeking to take place in 6 days is... the heart of Appernascency. You may not begin seeking for 6 days.
Is research permittable?
After 6 days, you will be monitored.
Works for me!
Not necessarily an in-character thing, but was that heart like beep beep or heart like deer?
You don't know. They just said it out loud.
Okay, cool.
Now for just one moment, I wish to speak with your brave warrior Arvid Ulfmund about the field of battle.
Is he allowed to do that? Are you guys going
to
leave me?
This is unrelated to the trial of seeking. I just want to give you a little word of advice.
I always enjoy advice.
And he'll just take you off to the side.
Arvid, I've been watching you ever since we took the Grand Proving together. To be frank, I think you'd be a good fit for Daxton's death machine. Now, I realize you have a strong bond of camaraderie with these weaklings and mainlanders that you've assigned yourself with. But take your time, see how the trial plays out, and take this business card if you want to contact me. It will magically let you communicate with me, Daxton, when you so wish. Just think about it. Sometimes warriors need to align with other warriors.
He says, like, flexing his arm.
In the background, I'm, like, sitting there, like, adjusting Christ's outfit and, like, making sure that the lapels are clean.
Cute. Arvid curiously looking at him flexing and, like, half copying the motion, being like, okay.
He puts his giant hand on your massive shoulder and says,
I can tell that you hunger for a kind of brotherhood that you're not receiving.
Oh, no. He's in my heart of hearts.
Do not rush this choice, for it is important. For it is important and heavy with honor.
Thank you, Daxton. If nothing else, it is an honor to see you think so.
Very good. I look forward to seeing you smash foes with your mighty horns. Daxton out!
And there's a flash, and the dwarf and Daxton disappear from the dimension.
Oh, brother.
Maven says, well, that was strange. Everything okay, Arvid?
Can I use insight to see if I kind of gathered what they were talking about?
You can try.
19?
It looks like it wasn't so much an advice thing as maybe some kind of offer was given.
What did they offer you?
He asked if I wouldn't be better suited at their team. Of course, I wasn't thinking. It confused me more than anything else.
You'd fit right in. They'd like you. But then we wouldn't have a ram and extremely powerful barbarian, so, you know.
Yeah. I just never expected such a thing.
I shrug.
Okay. Can we move on?
I think we should return home. We have a lot of things to plan. And if I could get each of you to direct your attention to your bracelets. You look, and the star that you had, there's two of them that indicate that you're now hero rank team. They used to glow gold, but now one of them has almost like a reddish hint of shade over the top of it. He says, teams who have earned great favor with the League of Ultimate Questing start to gain benefits based on their following. You have now awoken an option that you have called inspiration. If you have a large fan following, sometimes they can manifest their love for you through the bracelets. So the more showy things you do and the more impressive maneuvers you do to win people's hearts over, it can help you on the battlefield. So mechanically, this is like the actual inspiration you have in D&D where you can use it and reroll a d20 or give it to your ally. But yours is fueled by doing stunts and awesome stage things.
This is freaking rad.
Oh, I love this. I love this so much.
Well, what do you say we all go home and feed Morty?
If Morty hasn't already eaten my bed.
He just likes the flavor.
Oh, can I be blamed if I get hungry in the night?
Shall we?
Yes.
And he also wrote down the heart of Apernascency on a piece of paper in case anyone forgot.
Is it H-E-A-R-T or H-A-R-T?
He's guessing H-E-A-R-T. But...
Okay.
And with a poof, you all return back to the Lounge of Ultimate Questing. And it's early day. There is business a-booming. There is breakfast and brunch being served, and the drinks are flowing. Isaac and Christian are playing a show. They stop every few songs to do a quick back-and-forth comedy act.
Oh, Maven.
Yes, Chris.
Did you ever look into the orphanage?
I did. There's money being moved.
Oh, wonderful. Let me know what I can do to speed things up.
Certainly. Thankfully, the town is well known for woodworking, so the construction of a building is not that difficult. Mostly paperwork.
Hmm.
Would it be possible to invest in some kind of a permanent installment of a magical item here?
What do you have in mind?
Perhaps some kind of object that we can touch and send a message to?
It's a little expensive, but we can certainly try to look into it. I think right now our money is going to be tied up in this challenge, but...
Long term, maybe.
There are sending mirrors, things like that. You can deliver short messages around 25 words, and they can respond to it.
This is good. I want to be able to contact the people that we have in the area without having to run out or send some idiot.
Certainly.
Yes, you, idiot. And I point to some child. some random bar hand.
You think it's a child, but it's just a very sick old man.
I need you to go find somebody for me.
Well, okay.
I hand them some silver and I just say, go find my Uncle Oshad.
Where did we find him?
He's a shipwright. He's a shipwright.
He's a shipwright.
Da.
And since he's your uncle, he probably says, like, pointing to your face.
I circle my face with my finger.
Oh, okay. And then what do I do?
Tell him to come here.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. He counts the coins real quick. Okay.
He kind of like wolfs down the last of his eggs and then gets up.
Well, nice to meet y'all. Nice place you got here.
And thank you. Leaves.
Huh, well, I wouldn't even miss him.
And in maybe an hour's time, Uncle Oshad will appear. And his like, just sweaty from working in the midday. Like, he's just getting off of a very late shift.
Oh, Artia, why'd you call me? For breakfast, maybe?
Let me see your face.
A little paler than it used to be, isn't it?
Duh. This happens. Does he look injured at all?
Not injured, no. He's healing up okay, especially after your magical
wing. So nothing fresh?
No, no. He does look a little sunburned and very dry around his eyes. He's kind of like bloodshot.
I work long shift into sun morning. Make very difficult to see.
This makes sense. Also, I love the idea that drow don't burn, they bleach. Like, they slowly become a little bit more pale as they spend more time outside.
What needs you?
I want to make sure that you're doing okay.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I find little place to live near docks, not very big. Plenty of room for Loshad, but kind of expensive. But, you know, I make the money. I hide some under the floorboards.
Have you been keeping up on your combat skills?
Mm,
I mean, my back is as strong as ever with all this lifting and dropping and pulling of ropes all day long. But whip hand not so quick as used to be.
Get it there.
Okay, how do that? Just
practice. Ah. We have a training area here. I'd like you to come here maybe every night, maybe every other night, and do some practicing.
Okay, maybe before I go to work.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, okay. You got weapons and things?
Yeah, we have plenty.
I've never been much of a soldier, but I know how to swing stick.
Yeah, well, whip probably complemented very well with dagger. Trip, come close, stab, or spear. Either way, it's good. I can teach you.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. Now, how about that breakfast?
Yeah, of course. I gesture to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And they just, like, Jean-Pierre takes a plate in front of someone else that was about to run out and just sends it right to you. So you have basically 6 days to prepare for the Trial of Seeking, where the group has to just hunt down this strange, forgotten item called the Heart of Apernascency.
Maven, do you have a moment?
Of course.
I'm hoping you help me with something. The trophy that we won, well, my trophy specifically. Do you know any enchanters?
I don't.
Illusionists?
Personally, but I know where to find them.
Do me a favor. Take this trophy. There's a specific enchantment I'm hoping exists. Basically, when the orphanage is done, I want the trophy there. Mm. But the enchantment I want on the trophy is that whenever a child looks at it, their name appears on it. Something to aspire to.
So a shifting minor illusion with a permanency on top.
Yes, please.
That's adorable. I think that's possible. I suppose a high-level enchanter could work that out for 100 gold or so.
Oh, please, by all means.
That's just a guess. I'm no arcanist myself.
Well, thank you.
So are there any preparations you would individually like to take for your Trial of Seeking? Obviously, you're not allowed to do any kind of hard research or anything. You will be watched. But you can, you know, buy anything you need for now or practice unarmed combat.
Can we pay someone else to do the research and then just not tell us for 6 days?
Nope.
I want you to do this. Just don't say anything to me about it.
Well,
for a week.
You do bring up a good point.
I'd actually like to summon the team and Maven to like a VIP area.
Sure. Yeah, you've got a little round table in the back near the war room.
Too good. Does it have like a velvet rope and everything?
No. Just a locked door.
Great. Can I put a velvet rope on the door?
Invest in some
Where
velvet
did
ropes.
Where did you find a velvet rope?
I'm sure the twins have one.
Duh. So, we got to figure out what we need to do. We have to figure out what to do to We have to figure out what to do to prepare. The common tongue is so complicated with all of the ridiculous P's and R's and...
Elf is just so much easier.
Duh.
Well, is there anything against the rules from hiring a lower-ranked team?
To beat them up?
Make an obstacle?
This sounds shady to me.
Well, what else can we do?
You could possibly hire some street thugs, but I think it would be against the rules for another team to be involved. This is a 1v1 challenge.
My main problem right now is that all I have for non-weapon combat is my magic. Which is fine, but I can run out of this. I mean, there's small little things I can do, but against a team of our level, this won't matter. So I think strategy is going to be important. Agreed. What does it look like if we get into a fight?
Have we been told what items count and which ones don't count as weapons? Like, can I use the conch shell to summon the water weird, or is that...
Yeah, that's not a weapon. That would be fine.
I would say it's anything that you can use to hit somebody.
Okay.
But my crystalline claw technically counts.
It's part of your body.
Yeah.
Well, what combat would look like would be most of you utilizing your natural spells, and things that are part of your body should be fine, like Harathax could attack with their tail or bite. Arvid obviously has massive horns and large fists for pummeling. I would say things like wands and rings that can cast spells are all right. Of course, your wand being used as a spear would be forbidden, as spear being a weapon. But I think the other spells it can cast should be fine. They're magical effects.
Can you use Shillelagh on your fist?
No, it has to be a stick. Can I pick up a stick?
I think that would count as a weapon.
Okay.
So I can't throw any rocks...
I would probably avoid it to challenge the threshold of the conflict.
What are our strengths for non-weapon combat?
Well, I can help us evade cornering situations with my little thundering waltz.
Arvid, I know you favor your ram and has good horn attacks in this, yes?
Yes.
How long can you stay like this?
I can only stay in that form for about an hour, but I can do it a few times a day.
This is good. What about your attacks?
My spells allow me to empower my physical form quite a bit.
What can that do? And I point to his ridiculous, like, tentacle arm.
It makes my other abilities harder to resist.
Can you eat with it? Then maybe bite?
I pick up a fish with it or something. I just stick it in the middle of your plate that you've probably walked in with. It just kind of starts eating the stuff on your plate.
Yeah. It shovels a couple of, like, bits of bacon and egg into its mouth with these little tendrils.
Only small pieces.
But can't hurt people with it?
I mean, maybe a nip.
Mm. It's unfortunate.
It looks like it would probably hurt as much as any of you attacking with your mouth.
You could do the breath, yes?
Yes.
This is good. Christ, I know you have your claw.
Well, I could try to entrance them, help us evade.
You could turn them against each other.
Oh, I forgot. My hypnotic pattern. I can keep them frozen for a bit. Maybe.
Ooh, maybe.
Maybe.
Those kinds of things, if you end up actually fighting with Daxton and his team, would be good. They don't seem like very... They don't have a strong mental constitution.
What class are they?
According to my paperwork, the four they have selected for the Trial of Seeking are two barbarians, there is a knight, and a paladin.
You see. What is Daxton himself?
Daxton is a berserker.
Ah.
A knight? What is... Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
A fighter that specializes with heavy armor, tactical mobility, commands.
Oh, hmm.
To be clear, we can't research the artifact, but we can prepare for the seeking, right? We can prepare for the mission.
Yeah, we can make plans for what we'll do when the time comes, but we can't do any actual legwork in seeking such a thing. We should figure out what we're going to do to find it.
Oh, but one more thing. Where do potions fall on this weapon scale?
Assume you can use a potion unless it's a potion that summons a weapon.
Unless you're throwing it at somebody's head.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I think once you use it as a projectile, it might be dubious.
Mm.
And I would imagine using a shield is fine, but hitting with it could be questionable.
I just fear this particular knight might be resistant, might have some magical item that makes it harder for our magics to pierce him.
I would worry more about the paladin. They tend to have strong resistance against spells.
Oh.
Well, maybe I should focus on the paladin, then.
Maybe. So here's what I'm thinking. Most of what I can do, a lot of the damage, a lot of our damage in general, is about getting them corralled in. If we can get them into a small space, we can deal a lot of damage all at once. I have Fireball, you have Shatter, we have lots of options. Also, if they have one person that's particularly dangerous, we have Banishment. We can try to get them out of the fight. Another important thing I'd like to do is focus them down. Find the one that seems to be the most dangerous tactically or conceptually and take them out. Paladin is a big risk. Mm. I would say probably Paladin since he probably can heal. Also, I know that knights have the ability to kind of maneuver battlefields. Either of them are a good choice. If we can isolate and take them down, and then if they start to group together, we can unload on them.
Does that thunderstep of yours, you can take anybody, like any number of people? Have we seen that or is it...
Yes, it's just one more.
Okay.
But it's really far.
And it gets you out of harm's way quickly.
And does a little bit of damage.
I like focusing them down in the secondary in groups. We lay out as much as we can on top of them.
One thing, though. If you see any enchantments, any special things, call that out right away. I can only dispel that so often, and it seems like that'd be very important.
Can you clarify what you mean?
So, Christ opens up the coat to reveal the crystalline object embedded in his chest. Well, as you know, this crystalline symbiote thing keeping me kind of at bay. Well, it hungers for magics, so it might be able to get rid of anything that they might have that it's hard to get through.
You're saying you can eat magic items?
Potentially, yes.
That's interesting.
Speaking of that ability for Thunderstep and your magic and my goat form, if you're talking about trying to hit them with magic and get them separate from us, Chris and I could go in. He could ride me as a goat. We could wait even until Chris is forced to revive. And then even if that takes me out, I would be fine. The goat form would end up being damaged. So we could potentially do a lot of damage and escape.
Oh, no, that's a great point.
These are all good tactics, and I'm glad we're talking about them. But there is one thing that we are not considering.
Mm.
They chose us for a reason. They know how we fight. They could be coming into this prepared. And if so, There is a possibility they might try to isolate me or Christ and take us out the same way we are describing taking them. If this happens, it is more important that we win than all of us live. Well, let me rephrase. It is more important that we win than I live. If his goal is to isolate me as captain and take me out, I want you to continue with the strategies that we are outlining here and leave me to fend for myself. I have been prepared for death for a long time.
That's very noble of you. I will do as you wish, but I will also do my best to make sure that doesn't happen.
I think we can move on, though.
Very good. These are things that I like to hear very much. And keep in mind that while you should prepare to potentially fight Daxton and his team, there may be other challenges between here and there.
We've yet to find any challenge that we have not been able to overcome.
All too true.
Other than that airship crash.
We overcame it.
It's true.
It landed, nobody died.
That's true, I suppose.
Surviving a crashing airship is a feather in the hat.
We broke pretty even on that one, I think. Are we allowed to see what Daxton's death machine is doing for preparations? Can we spy on them? Is that allowed?
They're not actively on a quest right now, so while they're being monitored by the Nexus Enterprise, they're not being projected, so not really.
Any highlights of their exploits?
Sure, we can take a look at some replays. And you can look through the viewing crystal and see some of the events that they've done recently. You can see that Daxton moves extremely quickly and attacks very fast with a large two-handed sword. It looks like the knight is very proficient in sword and board and looks almost untouchable when the enemies tried to attack him. He's very defensive, quick with his shield, smashes people in the face with it, and then follows through with a devastating sword attack. The paladin is a dwarf, and he is very stocky and uses a lot of divine magic. He just kind of, every time he hits something, it seems like there's an explosion of this divine energy. And the other barbarian seems like a very dumb, very obedient. He's basically like a Morty. He's a half-orc with a big axe, and he listens to anything that Daxton says.
Oh, interesting.
I would like to take advantage of the fact that Daxton seems to run in headfirst. If I challenge him, he will come.
I think if their enthusiastic friend there will do anything that Daxton says, it's possible Christ could make Daxton tell him to do something that he otherwise wouldn't do as well. Also, I've seen in the swamps, sometimes the witches have defenses against witch hunters. Arvid, can you inflame metal?
I don't think it's one of my known spells.
We can purchase scrolls, can we not?
Yes, you can purchase scrolls.
Perhaps a couple scrolls of heat metal might be advantageous for the paladin in the night. It's hard to do much when you're baking inside your own chest plate.
Oh, that's so very clever.
It's very good. I like this.
It's a good defense against someone who wears heavy armor.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why I have this. And I shake my coat, which it doesn't quite jingle, but there's this tinkling sound of the magic inside of it.
Right, and that coat specifically designed so that you can put it on and take it off very quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's just a coat.
Yep.
It's a coat that acts like breastplate.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow with a shield, does that count as a weapon?
If you hit them with it. I feel like there's some confusion here. If you hit them with it, it's a weapon. If you don't hit them with it, it's not a weapon. If it comes from your body, it's not a weapon.
So we could use our shields.
Just not to hit them.
Mm.
And I suppose if you're wearing armor, you could punch someone and your gauntlet wouldn't necessarily count as a weapon. It's just protecting you. But I know they're not the only ones that wear armor.
So, as for seeking, this is going to be an interesting question. Yeah. Well, who do we know?
Who do we know? We're looking for a magical artifact.
I mean, if we're just listing off transport, Regina with a ship.
No, we're looking for information.
Well,
we don't know where to go.
Sure, but we need to be ready for any occasion.
True. Theoretically, we can use one of our discounted teleportations.
To keep you all up to date, we have one left.
This is good.
Who do we know who specializes in magic? Usually, historians and magicians are the ones that keep track of these kinds of things.
There's the priestess that I met, of whatever it is. Ugh, remembering other gods is too many. What about maybe Lady Almer... Armata, Wayne? She's the Wayne. She makes Waynes? No, the artificer from, what's it, the place with the mechanical stuff.
Yeah. Oh, with the mansion? What's her name?
Wainwright.
Oh, good, thank you.
Almira, I think, was her name.
She's the artificer, duh?
Yes.
She's got to be a good choice.
She may know. I can,
She liked us.
She had a huge library.
If we can associate the artifact with anything, I can cast divination and see if I can get an answer from on high.
This is a good start. Maven?
Yes, once the trial starts, I can take one of you to the Silver Precinct and we can do a scrying spell to reach out to Lady Almira and discuss with her. She would be an excellent choice. This is her trade.
Let's buy some scrolls then.
Excellent.
Sounds like we're in line. And when 6 days pass, the mortal dawn begins, the trial of seeking.
Next time on
the Dragon Ball Z.
I've seen a lot of slaps in the face before, but nothing stings like making a team of melee specialists check their killsticks at the door and go questing empty-handed. Outstanding move.
It makes you wonder how many mysterious relics, artifacts of power, and other magical objects are scattered around this world of ours. Why are they still hidden? How did they get there?
Technological advancement's a weird thing, Kip. You might ask, well, if we were using swords and shields 1,000 years ago, why are we still using them today? Well, if you can find a better way to split a skull, I'm all ears. But as for magic, I like to think that kind of thing fluctuates throughout the ages. Who's to say the wizards of long past wouldn't put today's casters to shame? I mean, hell, we're in a giant floating announcer booth cruising all over the world. Maybe in 1,000 years someone will come hunting for this thing.
Those are some poignant words, Storm. You never cease to amaze me with your worldly insight.
Oh yeah, there's a whole chapter in my book about the concept of past versus present. Gets a little self-helpy near the end of that bit. But there's plenty of good fight scenes, a few jokes, a little romance.
All in one chapter?
These are the chapters of my life, Kip. One slice of Storm's worth a whole orc pie.
You don't have to convince me, Storm. You're one of a kind. And speaking of selling books, let's take a look at this week's sponsor.
Hey, what are you eating?
What, these?
Yeah, those.
Well, these are enchipment tater flakes. You want to try one?
Hey, yeah, why not? Oh, boy. Crunchy. Salty. These are delicious.
Yeah, they're great.
Can I have some more?
No, man. I let you have one. The rest are mine.
Please. I need more. I feel compelled by the flavor.
Oh, sorry. You'll have to get your own.
So be it.
Enchipment Tater Flakes. They're so good, you'll need a will save to have just one.
Enchipment Tater Flakes. You don't have the will it takes to say no.
Hello there, all you cuties. I hope you're all enjoying our brand new music. This week brings another slight change. Instead of two commercials from here on, we'll be doing one commercial and one lore building segment. We'll still be bringing the funny. This will just make the creative process a little bit easier and help to give you more information about the world of Mackinar, especially for those people who've only recently joined us on the Invitational episode, or people who've maybe forgotten some important facts, but don't worry, they're gonna be great. Those who support our Patreon can find bloopers, deleted scenes, and sneak previews in our Discord channel, specifically in the Heroes Lounge. You can find links to our Patreon on theluq.com as well. I want to thank our legendary tier of subscribers, the people who on Patreon are just donating way more than they need to and show endless support for what we do. That is Jeff Ammons, Dave Molodnov, Isaac Davies, Jack Phillips, Christian Wiseman, Zan Cam, Jen Finch, Maisie, and Iria Lunarose. You're all amazing and we can't thank you enough for what you do. If you haven't gotten us your team name submissions for the new plan, please get those to us as soon as you can. If you want to get a personal message on the show or are interested in promoting a business or a podcast of your own, please send an email to admin@slapdashstudios.com. And don't forget to share us with all of your friends and get posting out there. Honestly, we could use the support. Thank you all again, and let's get you back to the action.
Hey, you cuties. Law here to talk to you about Terranary, the newest sci-fi RPG system from Portland, Oregon. Three inhabited worlds that share a solar system weave their plots and plans while evoking or preventing interplanetary war. Smugglers, merchants, soldiers, and space battles await you, the player. This game utilizes a unique D12 system and will be written, produced, and illustrated by local creatives for the rest of the world to enjoy. The Kickstarter goes live from February 12th until the 24th and is part of Kickstarter's Zine Quest 2. For more information or to help support this project of galactic proportions, visit Terranary.com. That's TerranArry.com.
My name is Thomas Turner, and this is Behind the Shield. Tonight, we ask the question, who is Daxton's death machine? Daxton Grimbarrow, a large Goliath, by even the standards of his race, grew up in the harsh Himmelhorns of Dornheim. He was kicked out of his clan at an early age due to his brash and violent nature, despite being highly intelligent and a proven problem solver, which urged him to pursue the exciting lifestyle of the big city. Mainhir Dornheim, 2411 AS.
Daxton, now age 28, instigates a record-setting bar brawl at the former tavern, the Graying Pines. This all-night melee resulted in over 19 casualties, the loss of 4,000 gold drax in property damages, and the permanent closing of the Graying Pines Tavern. The brawl had 5 survivors, who duked it out until the morning light. The next day, these 5 violent thugs would join forces as a group of mercenaries for hire, ruthless, cunning, and willing to go the distance for the right price. 4 years later, they entered themselves in the grand proving of the League of Ultimate Questing. This has been Behind the Shield, an insight expose into the stories behind the teams. Join us next time, right here, on the Nexus Enterprise. Thomas Turner, signing out.
The first day of the Trial of Seeking has arrived, and we see Maven and Krist entering the Silver Precinct. He leans over to you and says, "I've arranged for a scrying communication between you and Lady Almira. We don't have a long time, but you'll have enough time to ask them the question. And remember, we're looking for the Heart of Apernascency."
Heart of Apernascency. Okay, yes.
And you make your way into what looks like a wizard's laboratory. There are several of them here in the Silver Precinct. You've used some in the past for teleportation. Hmm. And this one has a series of kind of glowing scrying orbs and mirrors hanging on many of the walls. He exchanges some money with one of the people near the wall who activates this humming purplish portal for you. It swirls for a moment. There's a little X painted on the ground to stand right in front of it. And the spell takes effect. And at first, it looks like you're looking down at a classroom from kind of a bird's eye view. There are stacks of books and papers on the desk. And the young and well-dressed Lady Almira Wainwright is speaking in front of a class. It looks like there's 25, 30 students all listening very intently. But for just a moment, you're just a bystander. And then it kind of zooms in, and it looks like she perks her head up for a moment and tunes into the fact that there's some magic in the air. And she pulls out a wand and waves it for a moment. And she says, "Who's scrying? Who's there?"
"Oh, it's me, Krist. Krist Sagrand."
And at this point, the portal seems to open in front of her. You're very much in like a Discord chat at this point. And she says, "Krist, is this important? I'm teaching a class right now." And you can see she like rotates the screen and says, "Class, this is my friend Krist. He's in the League of Ultimate Questing."
"Hello all. Hi."
There's just a cough from that. Like, she says, "Well, anyway, what's the problem?"
"Do you happen to know about the Heart of Apernascency?"
"Heart of Apernascency. Can this wait?"
"It's really, really quite time sensitive and important."
"All right. Just buy me a few minutes." And she turns the thing around and you see this class just staring up at you, young teenage wizards all studying their histories. Someone raises their hand.
"Yes, you."
"Why are you called the Mortal Dawn? What does that mean?"
"Well, it's quite a long story. I'm not sure if this spell might have enough time
for that."
Another
girl raises her hand.
"Are you a wizard or are you a bard?"
I'm a sorcerer, but I do have a lot of bardic skills. I'd like to combine them both. And you had a question?
There's another one.
"Can I get Harithax's autograph?"
Oh, I'm sure he would absolutely love that. If you,
it's a young dragonborn.
Yes. Give us your details and we'll make it happen.
And suddenly there's a clatter of books as the lens turns back around and you can see she was reaching for a book and managed to spill stuff all over her desk. She says, sitting on the ground now, shuffling through things. Sorry.
No problem.
The Heart of Apernascency. Hmm. Apparently it was made... Wow, pre-Age of Legends, a very long time ago. It looks like it was generated as some sort of magical power source that was used by a tribe that lived in the Oilstone Mountains. I'm not sure what they would have used it for, but it must have been pretty powerful.
Oh, anything else we should know? Is it dangerous? Is it sentient? Is it anything more?
It seems to be a power source that was locked away a long time ago.
Just a power source. Do you happen to know the last place it might have been, maybe?
Probably remained in the Oilstones for its entire time.
The entire time?
She closes the book.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to have disturbed your class.
I'll have you in as a guest sometime. We can have a real Q&A.
Oh, yes. That'd be lovely.
Well, gotta go. Cuts out. And Maven says, "Well done. We must hurry, though. We are now racing against the clock."
"Yes, let's hurry."
And you all return to the Lounge of Ultimate Questing, where the group is there, fully geared and ready to go, waiting for your answer.
The Oldstone Mountains?
"Yes.
We know an alchemist who spent a significant portion of his career looking for things there, trying to find a cure to its problems.
What was that name?
Professor Ifis. He is still working at the Forensics Guild in Lakes. But you've been to the Oil Stones. It's right next to Soros. That was where your first official quest was.
I was simply hoping that he might have information as to its specific whereabouts.
Hmm.
And this thing is a power source, so I assume that, you know, you don't want to touch electricity directly. I assume the same principles apply to this.
Electricity is not the only way to generate power. It could be heat.
It was a metaphor.
Well, would you like to use your last teleportation to get near Soros, or would you like to take a ship?
How far is Inlakes?
Inlakes is a several days' travel to the south.
Gotcha. And Soros is where?
It's even further south.
Duh.
We've been to Inlakes, right?
You've been to both, yes.
Are we ready to use our list?
I was wondering if it would be possible, maybe I can remember it well enough to use this one.
As long as it's out in the open, if you know it, it's okay.
Yeah, I can see it in my head.
Can't you?
There was like
You've spent quite a while in Soros, so that's probably fair, yeah.
Then I can see any reason why we could not use this one. Save ourselves the last teleportation.
So you want to be teleported to Inlakes, where you will speak to Ifis and then use the swan to get to Soros?
Perhaps maybe we could send a missive and then whatever response can be sent to us? Is that a thing?
We could go back to the precinct and get a sending if we're going to be teleporting you there anyway, and then he can respond at his own leisure. You'll just have 25 words to do so.
Hmm.
This is good. And he can respond to us wherever we are?
Yes, anywhere.
This is good. I like this.
Let's return. I have the wagon still at the... They're still idling. This horse is just... You all load in with all the gear you've prepared. You did manage to buy 2 scrolls of heat metal, mm-hmm. Which I assume Krist and Arvid will be carrying.
Mm.
Yeah, I give one to the bard and one to the druid.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead and write those down if you would be so kind, because they may come important later.
How much does that set me back?
They're both 120 gold.
Okay.
With great haste, you make it through Lucinelli all the way back to the precinct. You were literally just here, and they have a teleportation ready to go for you. But before you do...
I thought we weren't doing the teleportation.
I thought you were going to send him a message while you teleport, and then he can respond to you while you're already there.
Oh, I thought we were going to use the swan to save the money.
Oh, it's way too far to teleport to Soros from here.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You could have from Inlakes.
I gotcha.
Sensible.
Yeah, I'm happy to clear that up.
Okay.
So at this point, you'll be teleported near Soros, but before you go, you'll send a message to Ifis so he can respond with some words.
Perfect.
He says, don't worry, I'll handle the message. That's totally fine. We'll just get you off. And you'll be a little bit on the outskirts of town. They don't have a portal in the city.
Ask if he knows what god the tribe worshipped.
Very good.
That's adding more questions he has to respond to, but if he knows the specific answer, that's what we need.
I will send him my best 25 words.
I trust you have good 25 words.
Well, he is an eloquent man, after all.
Well, thank you, Krist. And good luck, everyone. Remember, time is important. And there's a flash, and you are brought to what looks like an old, kind of broken-down wizard's tower that's outside of the village of Soros. It still has a very active magical portal outside of it. Seems maintained, visited once in a while, but no one lives here. And there before you, a small descent down a hill, is the village of Soros. You haven't been here in a very long time, and it has not changed at all.
Can you remind me what Soros was?
Soros was the small farming village surrounded by apple vineyards and a forest where you guys came to find out what had made a bunch of kids get mutated. And you found that they were getting sold nasty alchemical drugs from an underground lab from a wanted man. And that's where you found Morty.
The place near Inlakes.
Perfect.
Not too far. It's close-ish.
So we're at the top of a old wizard's tower?
You're at the base, yeah. But looking down into the valley.
I'm just going to try this. I don't know if it's going to work.
I'm just going to try this.
I'm just going to try. I'm just going to try.
Thank you. Zach's hurt. He hates it. It tasted bad.
Okay. Elvish Presley?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. No.
Elvish Presley was one of the bands in the... Wasn't he? In the big show that had all the list.
Might
of
have
all
been.
The,
I think he, I don't
the big
remember.
Show was WWE.
God damn right. It. Master Arvid, maybe we can try to detect this ambient magic power source, maybe?
Yeah, I'll put out a feeler.
Okay, you two do your friendly linking of hands and do a detect magic. And there's a little bit coming from the portal, but this area is pretty devoid of enchantment. So before you is the village, and the only thing that has changed slightly is the lake no longer looks like it's horribly polluted. It's a much cleaner shade of blue. It actually seems to be quite healthy.
Hmm.
I wonder if the fisherman ever caught that giant catfish.
Unknown. But there behind the lake is a very jagged, high elevation set of mountains known as the Oil Stones. And they extend all the way north into the God's Wall.
Now from here, I think we could use this one.
Oh.
It's swan time?
Unfortunately, it's daytime. The swan only works in shadows.
What?
Oh. Yeah, that was the main thing at the beginning, is it can only be used in the dark or in shadows.
Motherfuck.
Okay.
I have no recollection of that rule.
Sorry.
It's literally called Shadow Wayfarer.
Oh.
We'll just wait till night.
That'll save time.
Oh. Horthax, maybe you can scout ahead with your brand new eagle form?
I could, but I don't know if that's the best use of that ability right now.
Fair enough. Either way, we need to do something. We're burning daylight.
And a crackling voice enters all of your minds magically. It says,
"This is Ithis. Got your message. Oilstone's dangerous. Many Rintari tribes seek underground. No gods on purpose.
Pity.
If we're headed underground, there could be any number of entrances. I do not like going underground."
I glance down at my missing hand and I say, "Neither do I."
Morty!
Morty's wagging his tail like crazy.
Oh, I forgot we brought Morty.
Yeah, I needed to check if we brought Morty, and we did not bring Horseboy. It's not time to test him out, right? We're not ready.
No, he's being held in a stable condition.
I wasn't sure if we were allowed to bring Morty if he counted as a team member.
No, Morty's fine for team stuff.
All right, nice.
And he's very excited to be here. Like, he feels like he's been here before. He's, like, sniffing the air and running around.
Morty, if you... He probably doesn't understand me. Well, he's a dog. He gets it. If you find anything, Morty. If you get any whiff of something that may be coming from underground in that area, I point towards the oil stones, maybe let us know.
He sniffs the air and takes off running.
Oh, okay, quick.
Oh.
Do you want me to try casting divination and see if I can get some kind of clue?
For now, maybe we follow Morty.
Okay.
Can you cast divination while walking?
I don't think so.
Then
I assume it's not an on-the-go spell.
Right.
Here we go. You got like a little, you got like suspenders that holds up a little card table, right. And you're like sitting there like performing your ritual.
Yeah.
You're taking a stroll.
All right. And if you do follow Morty, he's making a beeline straight towards the Oilstone Mountains past Wyvern's Lake and Green Moss Island.
We'll have to make haste.
And it's a beautiful day out. Soros is really nice this time of year. There's like a light powdering of snow. The apple orchards look gorgeous. And the mountains are very quiet. In just a couple of hours, you make it past the lake and start your way up into the hills. And Morty is sniffing, snuffling, and tasting like everything. His tail is off the chart right now. You guys have seen him like excited before, but he's just like super curious, sniffing wherever he can. And you begin to make your way up and then hiking into the Oilstone Mountains. So I'm going to have Arvid make me a survival check for finding paths, doing wilderness stuff.
May I assist?
Absolutely. You have advantage.
Can I roll investigate with an advantage because I am an underground being?
Once you get underground.
Okay.
Did you say that was survival?
Mm-hmm.
I have bad luck with those rolls for some reason. But it's slightly better than it was before, so... That's a sweet 11.
Okay. It takes you guys a while to get too far up into the mountains. There's not a lot of switchbacks or clear paths. You have to do a little bit of off-road hiking and climbing. Gets a little grueling for less physical teammates.
Can I do an active perception to see if somebody might be following us?
Certainly.
Yeah. That's a 25.
All right. It seems like when you were making your way from the Wizard's Tower... to the lake. There were some villagers that were very curious out in the fields, and they were watching you very closely. But they don't seem to have pursued you towards this direction.
Any indication that Daxton's Zest Machine might be following?
Nothing. And another couple of hours pass of hiking and climbing. And as you get further up in the mountains, there's a couple times when you lose track of Morty. Like, he just found a little path and went off on his own for a second. And he's just snuffling and, like, freaking out. I mean, in a very excited and happy way. Perhaps this region is quite familiar to him. And you do start finding small cave openings that you're certain would lead down into the underside of the mountain. But a lot of them are tiny. Like, at first, they're badger-sized. And the further up you get, the larger some of these openings become. Until you come to one that definitely looks like it could be large enough for a group of medium-sized creatures to enter standing at full height.
How very specific.
Morty was taken from somewhere not this region and brought to this region? Or Morty was from this region when he was being sold?
He was caught not too far away from where he was being sold.
He's just going to find a burrow of fucking other dire dogs. And fucking...
Well, then you can talk to them.
And Morty makes his way into this cave without hesitation.
Okay.
Call him back or you'll lose your dog.
Morty, come.
Roll me an animal handling check.
16.
All right. Morty sniffs and stops and then tail kind of between the legs comes back to you embarrassed.
Morty, what are you looking for up here? What have you found?
Just sniffing around, tail wagging.
Is it something familiar?
Pawing at the ground.
Does it smell like family? I'm worried that you're focused on the wrong thing here, Morty.
It'd take 10 minutes to cast the spell.
Yeah. My dear sweet party, would it be all right if I took a moment? I need to figure out if Morty's looking for the same thing that we are.
I don't think 10 minutes will kill us, and we can do some quick scouting ahead, just to be safe.
By all means, yes.
Sure. First, I'll get the rolls for the scouting. Roll me a couple quick perception checks, whoever wants to be involved.
Investigation?
Investigation would work if you're entering the cave.
Oh, yeah. I was meant, like, I was going to go ahead and, like, take a peek around.
I will do some investigation.
Or around.
Inside.
Okay, yeah. Then I will totally accept investigation.
Investigation.
No. Do I get any kind of advantage for being Drow Boy?
They don't mechanically get advantage in caves.
No, you're right. Not great. 15.
You don't see a lot of clues or anything, but you can make out that this is probably a cave where creatures come. There are living things that probably come and go around here.
Looks like an animal cave. Could be anything. Could be dogs.
And with the time they're using to do a quick scouting ahead, you commune with Morty and have your little moment, and then the spell activates.
Okay. Morty?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand you.
Can we go?
I
want to go.
What are you looking at? What are you smelling?
I smell... I don't know. It smells familiar. I smell beds. I smell milk.
Oh, gosh. Hold on just a moment, Morty. Guys, I think that Morty may be following a familial sense. He said milk.
Yeah. This is possible. But we don't know anything about this area.
If we weren't on a time crunch, I would suggest we just let him satisfy his curiosity so we could be less distracted.
Arvid, you can talk to the family. Maybe we can have multiple scouts. You never know the twists and turns of this cave thing.
These would be feral dogs.
Fair. Hmm.
And I don't fancy killing a bunch of dogs simply because they did not know any better.
Especially if they reminded Morty of his family.
Hmm. Hey, Morty, watch!
And every time you guys say dogs, his ears like perk up and he gets really excited for a second.
Oh.
Hey, Arvid, I'm going to go, okay? It's going to be okay.
Morty, we're focused on something else right now. And I'm worried that if you find somebody out here, they may not be friendly to us. They may be friendly to you, but not us.
Sniffing the ground.
We got to go down, yeah?
We need to get inside.
Yeah.
Is that going to go inside?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going.
Oh. Folks, I don't know. I don't know if I can...
He can find his way down, and that's where we need to go.
Okay.
If he starts going somewhere we can't trust, then we'll have to be careful.
Mm. All right. And you all enter the cave, now being aware that there's probably living things that come and go from this region, and that Morty smells something familiar that's got him real hyped up. You begin descending into it. Those of you who don't have dark sight will need to make preparations as it gets dark very immediately. If anyone wants to cast a light or anything, if not, you can follow hand on the back to those of you that do.
I'll cast light on Arvid's dagger so that they can pull it out and close it. Just be sure not to hit anybody with this.
Of course.
Yeah, so your hunting knife now has the magical glow of Brand about it. And as you guys descend into the cave following Morty, who seems to like very briefly duck into a side passage, sniff around and then come back, following a path, not too far out of sight, but excited about everything. And it seems like the deeper you go, the less organic the caves become and more sculpted they feel. There start to be markings on some of the walls that look extremely vague. They're not drawn well. They just look like kind of roundish animal shapes. Not any kind of sophistication in this iconography. And Morty's sniffing at each and every one of them curiously and then ducking down into another side passage. And after a while, you come to a wide, watery ravine that drops down maybe 80 feet. It's quite deep, and the water down there, you can tell, seems very cold as the wind blowing up from it. You follow the path leading along it until it comes to a obviously man-made, very old stone bridge that leads from one side of the ravine to the other. It seems fairly sturdy, but it's just covered in dust. There's lots of small outcroppings of stone and alcoves on the opposite wall as well.
So it's just a ravine that goes down?
Mm-hmm, and the sound of rushing water down underneath you. Probably an underground river that leads to Wyvern Lake.
Did you say stone bridge? Stone bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Stone bridge.
I'm going to go ahead and dispel light on the dagger, cast light on a rock, and throw it down.
Okay. You follow it all the way down, and it looks like it's just sheer cliff face all the way down until it lands in the water and is immediately rushed away.
Any ideas?
No.
Whatever we do has to get Morty down there as well. We don't know how fast the water is running. We could have a powerful current.
Shouldn't we check the other side before we try down?
Duh.
I didn't realize there was another side. For some reason, I just thought it was just down. Forgive me.
I'd like to use my Staff of the Witness to cast See Invisibility.
Okay. You channel the magic of the glowing eye, and your eyes flash red like the orb. And you don't notice anything you didn't see before.
Okay.
I could tie a rope to one of you, and you could start walking over the bridge to make sure it's safe.
Well, maybe I should then. If I walk really slowly and concentrate, maybe I can thunderstep if I slip. That might kill the bridge. I don't know.
The one thing I would say is that without natural ability to see in this darkness, it might not be good for either of us to be testing that bridge.
Hmm.
I could go. I can swim if I hit the water at the bottom.
Are you sure?
It's not a matter of swimming. At this height, that water is basically rock.
I have rope.
Rope? Duh.
So, just so I have this correct, mm-hmm. There's a bridge. Yes. It's a rickety bridge.
It's old. It looks pretty sturdy, though. It's made of stone.
I'm across that bridge.
All right. Do you have a rope around you, or are you just going?
Yeah, I'm
going
to tie a rope.
Cool. So, you have one end of the rope. RTM, with his dark sight, takes the charge going across first. And I need RTM to roll me a perception check, and then I need the three of you to roll me a perception check.
Okay. Here it comes. 15.
10.
Also 10. Arvid's focused on...
17 for her with X.
17, and you have 15?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first thing that you notice as you're beginning to cross the bridge is immediately on the other side of it, you wouldn't have been able to see down this passage until you got partway out. The walls are covered in carvings, and these ones are far more refined than the ones you saw before. There are very clear, large, quadrupedal animals carved into the walls. And as you're looking into these little alcoves that are all littered across the opposite wall, you see dozens and dozens of these glittering little red eyes. What you three notice is that Morty is not with you. And then you hear a sound, the sound of drums, echoing through some of the alcoves down below and above. And the faces of these mean, war-painted goblins begin to emerge from every different facet of the rock. Some of them are on the opposite side of the bridge. One of them, which seems much taller than the other goblins, is covered head to toe in shamanistic attire with animal fur and feathers. And many of them have bows drawn and pointed at the party. There are dozens of these things, and they're all chanting in a very low goblinoid tongue. And this strange kind of ritual echoes through this massive cavern. Even though they are small, the sound it creates is very large. The sound is so loud that you're sure it can be heard from some distance away. And there's this woof, woof, as Morty comes running up and checking to see if the group is okay. And as soon as they lay eyes on him, the chanting changes.
Dago dia, dago dia, dago dia.
And all of them bow in divine reverence.
The Mortal Dawn have taken up the challenge of the Trial of Seeking, changed the terms of the deal in a bold turn of events, called in an expert, and set out on the first leg of their journey.
Goblins, like it's a hero rank team. Even if these little green goofballs are the cream of the crumb, the MDs are about to make goblin wine out of this clan of mountain munchkins. Leave that stuff for the novice rank teams.
Goblins or not, the MDs have their work cut out for them once again deep in the bowels of the earth.
Kip, do me a favor. Don't say bowels of the earth again. That double Java whip and breakfast burrito have joined forces to lay siege to my small intestines. Must hold the gates.
I'm sure we'll all be clenching with anticipation, Storm, waiting to see how this scene unfolds. Will there be a battle on the bridge? Are these gobsmacked goblins goners? Find out next time in an all-new Dog Eat Dog episode of the League of Ultimate Questing.
That is damn fine.
I'm so excited. These are my favorite kinds of story tropes.
I was waiting for the taller goblin to just be two goblins stacked on top of each other.
It's always a chance.
It is always a chance.
That's good.
I like Batiri goblins.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. I was terrified, and now I'm happy.
I'm excited. We haven't gotten to fight goblins.
I was worried he had some, like, because, you know, he came from, who did we get him from? Lizard? No.
We got them from the bad guys.
Yeah, but they were the dudes who had kidnapped the guy.
No, they were the ones that were poisoning kids.
I fucking love goblins.
I legit thought they were going to summon a Leviathan.
Yeah. This has been the League of Ultimate Questing, episode 54.
Woo.
We would like to go around the table and introduce the players just in case after 54 episodes or two episodes, however many you've joined us for so far, you don't know who we are yet. Starting with...
Your humble Sam, playing Arvid Ulfmund, the Drubarb. I'm currently a level 5 barbarian, which is good, and a level 2 Circle of the Moon druid, which is also good.
My name is Michael Loving. I'm not as humble as Sam. I'm playing Haruthax, the level 7 dragonborn warlock, custom patron designed by Law for this game.
Hello, I'm Alante, and I play Chris Segrand, the crystalline sorcerer, well, 6th level crystalline sorcerer, and what, 1st level bard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am Zach Barkas. I play Artyom Volkov, the cleric of sunlight and suffering. I am level 7. I have not deviated at all from my path. Though there was temptation.
Really thought about it, though.
I am also the editor, producer, director, technical person for Slapdash Studios.
My name is Law. I'm the dungeon master of the League of Ultimate Questing. I'm also the creative director of Slapdash Studios.
Also, I did not thank Tori last episode.
Oh, no.
But thank you, Tori, our editor.
Notorious.
So good.
Thank you.
Zach is also a light domain cleric.
Yes, wow. I'm like Domi.
If you wondered.
I do the flash.
Pa-pow. Yep. New episodes of this show go live Mondays. I want to thank you for listening very much. We would not have done 54 episodes of this podcast if people weren't listening to it. That would be a huge waste of everyone's time. And we're not about that life. So for those of you who are listening, thank you. You're the reason we're still doing this and are going to keep doing this until you all stop listening and make us all very, very sad and we have to get real jobs all of the time and can't do this for fun.
Or until I die of pun poisoning.
Or until I finally kill Zach with a pun.
This is a real thing.
Whichever happens first.
I'm still looking for the antidote.
So if you would like us to keep doing this and increase the risk of Zach dying of pun-related causes, please share our show with your friends.
I sincerely hope that line alone like doubles our audience.
Right.
Like, wait, I could kill Zach? Okay, all right.
I want to see it published in a medical journal. Man dies of pun. The best way, of course, to do this is to find a friend who listens to D&D podcasts. If you, listener, listen to D&D podcasts, chances are decent, I would say, that you have friends who do also listen to D&D podcasts.
If not, I'm sorry. God,
if not,
find better friends.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But for those of you cold, lonely D&D listening souls, welcome to the fold. We love you and appreciate you. Otherwise, let your friends know about our show. Listen to our show together with them. We need people to listen to the show if we want to keep growing. And we do, in fact, want that. You can visit our website, theluq.com. There are links there to our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. There are photos from the episodes, our world lore, all of that stuff is all on there. And if you want more content, the Patreon has our character sheets, it has our magic items, it has, I believe, maps from, I'm not making that up, not Law gave me the nod, that's the truth.
Them in Photoshop.
Yep, all of that stuff is on there for patrons, so if you want to support Slapdash, that is the way.
Toss a coin to your slapdash.
Yes. That's the one. That's the one.
Can I butt in for just a second?
You can.
It's about that other one, the
D20 questions.
Yeah, D20 questions. That is another thing. On the Patreon, you get the D20 one sides, which I was trying to listen to, and I was like, oh, I'm not a Patreon of my own thing anymore. Guys, where do I get that stuff?
If you want them, just let me know and I can send those to you.
Please. I don't have money anymore.
That doesn't work for you, the audience, but it does.
Yeah, don't email me asking for free shit.
It does work for Sam, the cast member. Does anyone have any personal messages for the audience? I'll start with Alante, who's to my left.
Oh, just that I love you all. Thank you for listening.
What a kind message.
If you're in the Portland area, I do trivia nights every Thursday night at 7 p.m. at the Rogue East Side Brewery. You can come and listen to my dulcet tones as I read off awfully written questions.
This is coming out probably pretty close to when we're going to do our League of Ultimate questions. Get those questions in the email, admin@slapdashstudios.com, or social media, stuff you want to know about the podcast.
Or join the Discord and ask there.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to both thank you and... nope, that's it. Thank you.
All right.
Well, I actually have something else. I do podcast consulting and editing. If you're interested in setting up a podcast for your own business or what have you, feel free to reach out to us at admin@slapdashstudios. I can do everything from setups, suggested equipment purchases, things like that, editing, all that business, production, what have you.
All right. Yeah, and I don't have a huge shout out. Really? Thank you for listening, certainly. Shout out to my wife for putting up with me driving 2 hours either direction.
Oh, and they're playing the walk-off music. See?
Bye, everybody! We wish you luck! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!